Amen. All my life you have been faithful. So thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord. His goodness is running after me. That's a concept, isn't it? That's a thought. That I'm not necessarily pursuing the goodness of the Lord. His goodness is pursuing me. And that is such a powerful thought, such a powerful understanding that He wants to do you good and not harm, goodness and not evil. He's a God of love and a God of faithfulness and a God of provision and a God of comfort and a God of peace. Amen? And that His heart is towards you, that He loves you, He pursues you, He's mad about you, He's not mad at you. And that He's a faithful God. I'm so thankful to understand the hope and the faith and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's our GPS system, right? Our navigation. That we understand that we operate in the faith and the hope of the Lord. We operate in His favor. And I look for favor in my life. And there's just little things and will happen in a day's time, and I'll just say, favor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for favor. You know, even in the midst of things, when things happen, and even with sometimes when things are tragic and happen, there's still God's favor in the midst of it. We can see God's hand, and we can see His bounty and His deliverance, and sometimes how He just puts things strategically in place for us. And how He brings things around full circle. So I'm thankful for the goodness of God. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. You know, we just did a series on favored, you know, the favor of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you a little bit this morning in the continuation of the story of the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 probably are two of my favorite all-time stories. But I got a lot of favorites, so I won't say they're my most favorite, but I love the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I love the story of Elizabeth and Mary. I love the story of the birth of Jesus, the significance of all the things that was put in place, the manger, the town of Bethlehem, how prophecies were fulfilled, how the heavens declared peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen. And so if the heavens are declaring that, then I believe we should be declaring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. How many believe you can have peace in this earth and goodwill? Hallelujah. And if ever there is a something that people need in this day, it's peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace in troubled times or in troubled waters. And we sometimes can get caught up in looking at environmental things, we can get caught up in looking at political things, we can get caught up in looking at, medical crisis that we've gone through in the last few years. Now, let me know, God is faithful in the midst of all of those things, and it's nothing new. The scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. We have walked through in this country through way more stuff, really, than what we've walked through in the last couple years. Doesn't make it easy, doesn't make it right, but it makes us understand that God is faithful in every season of our life. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about Simeon and Anna. And they, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the manger, which was the tower of the flock, it was the place where lambs were born. It's a place where lambs were swaddled. It's a place where they were wrapped in swaddling clothes and prepared and kept calm and kept in provision and preparation for temple sacrifice, because lambs were brought into the temple to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. Amen. So we understand that under the old covenant, when you came in, you would bring your sacrifice, and your sacrifice would be offered, whether it was a lamb, whether it was a bullock, whether it was a goat, whether it was a turtle dove or a pigeon, whatever it was, you would bring your sacrifices unto the Lord. The scripture declares that Jesus would be the perfect lamb of sacrifice, that he would go as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. How many know Jesus yielded to the death of the cross? They didn't take his life. He gave it up. He gave it for you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Amen. There was a healing that took place through the cross of Calvary. And so we see that picture in the perfect Lamb of God who was born in the manger, in the tower of the flock, who was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then the scripture tells us, and when the 8 days were accomplished, that she would circumcise the child. How many know Jesus was born? Galatians tells us, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the law. I mean, Jesus was born under the law. And under the law, when the 8 days were accomplished for a male child that was born, he would be brought to the temple to be circumcised. And Jesus was circumcised. He was brought into the temple. And then 40 days later, Mary would have to go in and offer a sacrifice for her purification. At the time of her cleansing period, after having a baby, she would have to go to the temple. She would offer a sacrifice for the purification of her and the child, and that would be offered to the Lord. And they would offer a turtle dove. Turtle doves are two young pigeons. But before we get to that scripture, I want to talk a little bit this morning about trusting God in the waiting. I want to talk about reaping in due season. I want to talk about faith, hope, and trust. I want to talk about never giving up. I want to talk about mentors. In Hebrews 10, go ahead and bring that up for me, Lisa. 19 through 25, I think, is what we have, right? And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Now I want to read that again. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have, everybody say have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have, say it with me, have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. That scripture was on my heart this week, and I posted it on Facebook. God is faithful. We can hold on to the hope that God is faithful to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not neglect the gathering together, the coming together of the saints of God. But he starts out by saying, but we now have opportunity. Understand that under the old covenant, that only the high priest could go into the most holy place. And he would offer a sacrifice for the people, and he would offer a yearly sacrifice. But the people could only go into the outer court. And then there was the holy place where we find Zechariah. when Zechariah is offering the incense unto the Lord and the candle and the showbread, but then there was a most holy place that was behind the veil or behind the curtain that only the high priest could go in, and that's where the mercy seat was and the Ark of the Covenant. But Hebrews tells us, for we have a high priest now that can be touched, and that we now have access into the presence of God. How many of you felt the presence of the Lord today when you came in? And when you worshiped, and when you said the words, and when you lifted up your voice in praise and worship, how many know there's a presence that fills the house? That we can come into His presence. And let me just tell you a little secret. When you leave here today, His presence doesn't stay here. It goes with you. You now have the presence of the Lord that resides inside of you, and your heart and your body becomes the temple of the Most High God. So the presence of the Lord will go with you wherever you go today, right? And it's at your access. And so we have a high priest who has removed the veil, who has given us access, and who has given us hope. Everybody say hope. Hope has given us hope. Hallelujah. And it said, let's encourage one another. I come to encourage you today. Let's encourage one another to good works. Let's encourage one another in the faith. Let's encourage one another in our testimonies. Amen. How many of you in here today can say, God's been good to me? God has been faithful to me. How many of you in here can say, I've walked through some hard places? Hallelujah. Some of you might say, I'm walking through some hard places right now. Wherever you find your place, there is a presence that goes with you. Amen. And the psalmist told us that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can fear no evil. How many know sometimes we walk through some dark places? But I'm thankful for the word. I'm thankful for hope. I'm thankful for faith. I'm thankful for trust. And I'm thankful for you. Because we encourage one another. We spur one another on. We comfort one another through the word, through our testimonies, through our life, through our contributions, the things that we do. We give glory to God. Amen? And so, through Jesus and through the blood of what He's done, we find hope. Hallelujah. So I want to go to Luke 2, verse 21 through 40. And it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the comforter. Or the that word consolation comes from the same word we find comforter. It's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Do we have some Holy Ghost people in here today? And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or before he had laid eyes on the Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I'm thankful for some Spirit-guided people today. Come on, I'm thankful for some Spirit-guided people. Miss Linda said to you this morning, I'm going to obey what the Lord, I believe the Lord will speak to you and show you what to do. Amen. He was guided. He said the Holy Ghost was upon him, and he was guided by the Spirit to go into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And I love this. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles, he says first, and the glory of thy people Israel. What's he saying? It's for the Jew and the Gentile, the bond, the free, the rich, the poor, whosoever will, the light has come, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto his mother, Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, there to their own city of Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of the Lord was upon him. They came into the temple, they offered their sacrifice, they brought their pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, which was a poor man's offering. They didn't bring a lamb. They didn't bring a great sacrifice. They brought their sacrifice to the Lord. They did all that the law required, but somebody got up one day and said, I need to go to the temple. I'm being prompted by the Holy Ghost that today I might see a vision of the Messiah. It doesn't tell us that Simeon is a priest. It's assumed that maybe he's a priest because he takes the child up into his arms and he begins to bless the child and prophesy over the child. And so we assume that maybe he's a priest. Either way, it said he was a just and devout man who was filled with the Spirit, who was the Holy Ghost was upon him, and he was driven by the Spirit to go into the temple. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like a temple full of Spirit-driven people that know the power of the Holy Ghost, that know when the Lord speaks. And you begin to feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit that I'm prompted. How many has ever been prompted by the Holy Ghost? God just begins to nudge your spirit, and he begins to just keep someone's face before you or somebody's name before you. And you said, you know what? They have been on my mind all day. I'm just going to reach out. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to touch base. I'm going to do something because there's a prompting of the Spirit to move. There's a prompting of the Spirit to go lay hands on somebody. There's a prompting of the Spirit to declare over you what the Word's saying, because I believe that if we'll yield to the Spirit in the temple, God will show up and the Messiah will be lifted up and glorified, and you'll have a glimpse of who he is and what he wants to do in this house. Amen. When we're obedient and yield to the Spirit. Hallelujah. He said the Spirit prompted me to go to the church, to go to the temple. And when I got there, Jesus was already there. Hallelujah. He was already in the temple. And he said he took and embraced that baby. Come on, sometimes you got to embrace the Messiah and hold him in your arms. He said he lifted him up and he embraced the Messiah. He said, Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. You have fulfilled your promise to me. I have laid hands on the very thing that I have prayed for. Hallelujah. How many of you are living right now in some of the prayers that you prayed for? Hallelujah. I'm enjoying some of the prayers right now that God has fulfilled in my life. Hallelujah. And so he says, Lord, you can let me depart in peace because I have laid eyes on the Messiah. I've not only laid eyes on him, I've not only seen him, but I have embraced him with my own hands. I have held him to my bosom, and I have declared over him that there's a generation rising up that's about to bring change into not only the nation of Israel, but he's going to bring a nation even of the Gentiles. The Jew and the Gentile, there's a light coming. Somebody's about to turn the light on in a dark place. Hallelujah. Is there anyone in here that has the ability to turn the light on in a dark place and say, your darkness is about to flee because the Messiah is, I am embracing the Messiah. I am embracing all that he is. I'm going to hold in my bosom the very thing that is able to change nations, that's able to change kings, that's able to change atmospheres, that's able to change covenants. I am embracing and holding to my bosom the Messiah. Hallelujah. Good thing I didn't skip church today because Jesus showed up. Come on, somebody. Simeon probably went home and said, it's a good thing I didn't skip church today because Jesus showed up. My mom used to say, I don't want to stay home. I'm too nosy. I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. That's what she'd say. That's how she'd say, I'm nosy. I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. Don't you know that one Sunday you miss? That's the one that the Holy Ghost just moves everywhere. And you're like, ugh. Come on, there's something happens in the atmosphere of worship. There's something happens when the Spirit prompts you. And I want you to be sensitive, even in your life in these next days, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor Lisa, he never speaks to me. Yes, he does. You might have to get quiet enough. And guess what? When he starts speaking, sometimes he just don't quit speaking. So get ready. How many know Samuel had to learn to hear the voice of the Lord? When the Lord began to speak, when God began to speak to Samuel, he'd say, Samuel, he'd call him by name. And he'd go back to Eli and he'd say, Eli, you called me. He said, no, son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He went back to bed. Samuel. He went back to Eli. He said, Eli, you called me. What did you need? He said, son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And finally he said, son, when you go back to bed and you hear that voice, you say, here am I, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, there must be mentors that can teach you how to hear God for yourself. I can tell you, thus saith the Lord, but God is able to speak to you in your life, in your situation, in your arena, in your family, in your finance, in your health, in your relationships. God is able to speak to you. Hallelujah. He speaks through his word. He speaks through worship. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through other people. And he will speak to you in a still small voice in your car driving down the road if you'll give him opportunity. It doesn't always sound like an audible voice out loud. Sometimes it's a feeling. And most of the time when it speaks, it sounds just like your voice in your head. And he begins to prompt you. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Pray over somebody. Take a meal. Don't go there. Don't stop there. What job are you looking for? What's the door that God is opening? So many times we set our heart on things and say, God, this is what I want. And sometimes it doesn't always go the way we want. But if we'll let God move in the midst of it, we'll find that he will take us to greener pastures. Hallelujah. There's times in our life that we go back and say, thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayers. Because that was a prayer that I thought that I could control. Little did I know God had something bigger, greater, better, beyond. If I could just step past this moment. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, there's something to be said for men who will stand up. The scripture says he was just and devout. He was a godly man. He was a godly man waiting on the comfort of the Holy Spirit to come to Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and he was prompted by the Spirit to move, to go into the house of the Lord, into the temple, and embrace what God was about to do. Are you ready to embrace what God wants to do in your life? How many are praying and asking God for new direction in this new year? I am. I'm looking for some new direction. I'm looking for new passion. I'm looking for new hope. I'm looking for God to just begin to stir some things. Hallelujah. And so he was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple and to begin to embrace what God was about to do. Hallelujah. And he holds that baby. And while he's holding that baby in his arm, it says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband. She was a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she came in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. I mean, Anna was one that wasn't prompted to come into the temple. She lived there. She lived in the temple, and she served God with her fasting and prayers day and night. Come on, that's some commitment. That's some commitment. That's some mentors. That's some Spirit-filled, God-given, Holy Ghost leaders since she was of old age. But she lived in the temple and said, in the instant when Simeon began to lift up the Messiah, something clicked, something connected with Anna. And she came in that instant and embraced the Messiah also. The name Anna means grace. And when grace shows up, it said she began to tell all those of the redemption of Israel. When grace shows up, redemption is available. Redemption begins to happen. Old things become new. Hallelujah. She shows up in the temple, embraces the Messiah. So now we have the perfect lamb of sacrifice held and embraced in the bosom of grace. And grace and the Messiah. And Simeon meets he who hears. He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit says. How many know Simeon had the ability to hear what the Spirit said? And when your hearing is mixed with grace, how many know then there's a presentation of the Messiah, of him that will come and bring a light to the Gentiles, but also glory to my people Israel. How many know Jesus didn't leave anybody out? As a matter of fact, he sought out the outcast. He sought out and hung out in places that got him in trouble. So why do you hang out with the harlots and the wine bibbers? He said, because those who are sick, or not sick, don't need a physician. But those who are sick. How many know you can't change the world if you don't hang out, sometimes connect yourself with people who aren't exactly like you? I mean, sometimes it will challenge you. And I'm not talking about being influenced by things. How many know when Jesus hung out with Zacchaeus, the thief, the tax collector, when he hung out with publicans and sinners, when he left them in better shape than when he came. Hallelujah. They stood up and said, if I've robbed and taken from anybody, I'm going to pay it back double. Because there's something about being in the presence of the Messiah that causes you to change your focus, change your heart, change how you live, because there's something that draws. See, I think there was something in Simeon that drew Anna into the room that day, because deep calls to deep. And just the same way that when Mary and Elizabeth came together, the scripture said, at the sound of your salutation, you caused my baby to leap. You caused something to be sparked inside of me. There's an Anna and a Simeon that when they come together, they will cause something inside of you to be stirred and cause your vision to look to him who is the Messiah and the one who's about to bring the greatest revolution that the world has ever known. Hallelujah. We need mentors. We need men and women of God, whatever age, to stand up and show and declare the word of the Lord and to bring together generations. How many know Simeon and Anna may or may have not known how powerful that baby that they held in their arm really was? There was something that went out on Facebook not too long ago in the last week or so about bringing your kids to church. It shows a kid just laying in the middle of the aisle there, probably throwing a fit. There's a story about the mom gets up to get ready to take the kid out. He's just throwing a fit and having a time, and this is different, but she's getting ready to go out the door with him, and he says, saints pray, because he's about to get a butt whooping. Right? There's been many a times when my kids were growing up, we go out the door, the saints better pray, because you're about to get a butt whooping. My mom told my sister one time, we were in church, and she said, my sister Terry, I'll say it because she's not here. My sister Terry, she said, you better straighten up, because if you don't, when you get home, you're going to get a whooping, and you better write that down in your little black book. And my sister Terry said, I don't have a little black book. So she probably got her whooping there and when she got home. I don't know how my mom survived with seven kids in church. Right? Hallelujah. But it shows the pictures of, you know, of them being frustrated, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you fight all the way to church and you fight all the way home because they don't want to wear the shoes and they don't put their hair up and they want to wear their pajamas, you know, and you go through the frustrations of just trying to get them to church. Right? And we think, does it even matter when we get there? I want to tell you, it does matter when you get there. It matters when you get there. You might think they're not watching during worship, but they're watching. You might think that God hasn't laid prayer requests on their heart, but He's laid some prayer requests on their heart. You might think that they're just going back there to play, but God is speaking to their hearts. God is teaching them how to pray. God is teaching them what it means to be an assembly of people, of mentors that will watch out for their soul, that instead of condemning them when they make mistakes, can pray and say, God, I stir up the power of the Holy Ghost and the seed of God that's been planted in their hearts and in their minds, and I stir it up and I pray, because I will stand as an Anna or a Simeon in the house of the Lord and pray over your kids and say, that baby is set for greatness, and God will raise them up to mighty things. You don't know the power. When Zachariah and Elizabeth got a baby named John, they had no idea the impact that that baby would have on a world. And they thought that God had forgotten them and had forsaken them and that it would never come to pass. And lo and behold, God begins to stir something in a womb that looked like it was dead. I don't know about you, but there's been times that the womb of my heart felt like it was dead and nothing was being produced. And all of a sudden, God begins to stir something again, and God begins to birth something out of me. And that baby named John would be the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. Don't you ever underestimate the ministry of you as being a priest and a king and a leader in your house, whether it's mom or dad or whoever it is, grandma, grandpa, I don't care who it is. Don't you ever underestimate the ministry of bringing your kids to church and teaching them to trust God for themselves. Because I believe there's a seed that gets planted. Someone reached out to me this week and said, I believe that God planted a seed in my heart over 35 to 40 years ago in that little white church on a hill. And I am who I am today because of that church, because of that seed that was planted. I want to tell you, don't take it for granted. Sunday school teachers, when you're down there and not hearing, you're missing out on hearing what you need to hear because you're back there pouring into somebody. I want to tell you, God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over and pouring out, because whatever you sow into, God will bring it back to you multitudes and multitudes. And I will tell you, sometimes you might not be the person to reach your children. It might be somebody else you've sowed into. It might be somebody in a Walmart somewhere on the other side of the country that starts telling them about Jesus. And they said, you know what, I can't get away from it. Because the scripture, David begins to say, though I make my bed in the heavens, you'll be there. If I ascend into hell, you'll be there. Wherever I am, there you are. I can't outrun you. I can't get away from you. There's a seed that's been planted in me that every now and then somebody waters. That when you run into it, somebody waters that seed. And before you know it, there's increase and there's fruit that abounds. Amen. Hallelujah. Men of God, women of God, that stand their ground, that pray and fast. Hallelujah. That understand what it means to stay connected to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll give honor to my Uncle John, who's here today. Was it 85 or 86, John? He'll be 87. He's a groundhog, right? Aren't you Groundhog Day? Right around Groundhog Day? Day after groundhog, that's how I can remember. He's soon to be 87 years old, still in this house. See, we honor every generation in this house. That man worked and laid block and sowed when this was just a hole in the ground. He helped to lay block, him and Tommy, they worked. They've been givers. They have sowed. They have served. They have preached, they have sung, they have been a part of this house and sowed into this ministry, so that those who come in here today, there's still a house on this hill and still a ministry. And so I honor you. I honor men and women of God who stand the test of time, who pray and fast and believe for the next generations yet to come. Mentors, people, though the vision tarry, wait for it. You can get frustrated sometimes. You can get weary in well-doing. Hallelujah. But our ministry to those around us is powerful. It doesn't have to be behind this microphone. Sometimes it's the Bible story you read at night. Sometimes it's the prayer you pray with them. Sometimes it's the bringing them to church. Sometimes it's just sitting with somebody. Sometimes it's just holding their hand. You don't always have to have the words to say. And quite often I don't have the words to say. But I know what the Holy Ghost can do. Hallelujah. I know what the power of God can do. The power of mentors, fathers and mothers. I love the wisdom of the old and the energy of the young. Amen. Hallelujah. Elders like Zechariah, Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, and then teenagers like Mary and Joseph. Hallelujah. Who brought Jesus to church. That a little teenage girl named Mary said, this was the way I was brought up. That when you have a baby, you bring them and you dedicate them to the Lord. And you circumcise them and you offer your sacrifices. Not knowing the impact of what one child could have on a world. But this little girl was raised up. I said the other day, where was Mary's mama when she went to Bethlehem? Did you ever think about that? She's in a stable with Joseph. Nobody made reservations at the motel. Nobody packed the stuff that needed to be. They went to be taxed. And ended up in a manger. And my question is, where is that girl's mama? Quite possibly she's there somewhere. We don't know. Or maybe that mama said, Mary, I've taught you everything that I can teach you. I taught you how to be a mom. I taught you how to be a wife. I taught you how to care for your children. I taught you how to be a strong, independent woman. You got this, Mary. I can't always be there. I can't always be by your side. But I can tell you that Jesus will. Hey, there's something to be said for training up a child in the way that they should go. That when they're old, they won't depart from it. I guarantee you, I don't care what age they are, it goes through their mind probably every day. The example that you are will never fall void. Hallelujah. Thank you to moms and dads who teach their kids what to do, how to be strong, independent men and women, to follow their convictions, to live by the standards that they've been raised. Hallelujah. And even when it don't look like that, we stand in a place of prayer and fasting and say, God, you got this. You got them. You loved them before I ever loved them. They came from the heart of God before they ever came through my womb. And they belong to you. Hallelujah. And that is my prayer over us this year. They belong to you before they ever belong to us. And I stir up the Holy Ghost in them. I stir up seed in them. I stir up the power of God in them. Hallelujah, to call forth everything that you have implanted and put in them and purposed in them, we declare it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Young and old work together to accomplish God's plan. Simeon, go to the temple. Jesus is there. His name means hearing. And he had the ability to hear the voice of the Lord. Anna means grace. Grace is the message of redemption. And she began to declare the message of redemption to all who would hear. When our hearing is mixed with grace, redemption, and hope of Israel, faithfulness matters. We sing the song, even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Hallelujah. It says, and the child grew in wisdom and fullness and in stature of God, and found favor with God and man. Hallelujah. Be selective who speaks into the life of your children. Amen. Simeon lived in a prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached. There's a tremendous shift occurs as old order becomes new vision. Hallelujah. Simeon, new vision, and he who hears. Hallelujah. The most devout were the most receptive. They are not resentful or angry, but welcoming and rejoice, not only for Israel, but also for the Gentiles who would see the light. It takes prayer and devotion sometimes to not become resentful or angry in the wait. How many know they were not resentful or angry in the wait, but they trusted God through prayer and the Holy Spirit to accomplish all that he would do. New direction, new leadership areas and opportunities, new vision. What's your vision for this house, and what part will you play to see it happen? We see when God speaks to you, then he's probably prompting you in some way to make it happen. There are so many ways to serve, so many ways to plug in, so many ways to minister. Be open to the guidance and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We are where we are today because of those who have prayed, tithed, served, stayed faithful, didn't give up, believed, mentored, and ushered in a new covenant. I'm thankful for those who have gone before us to pay the way. Your commitment matters. You are a treasure to this house. I was reading this week about when the wise men came to Jesus, it said they opened their chest and they presented their treasures to the king. You are a treasure. Your giftings and talents are a treasure. What will you present to the king that he can in turn take that and do what he needs to do, the ministry? The giftings, the treasures of the wise man made it possible for Joseph to take the baby and go into Egypt and live for a period of time to protect that baby because of the things that were presented. Our tithes, our tithing, our giving, our treasures, not just financial things, but how many know your giftings in this house? How many know there's words of knowledge? There's prophetic words. There's gifts of healing. All of those things are in this house. We must present them to God to be used in the house. Wise men follow stars. What do you do in the waiting? And I'm closing with this. What do you do in the waiting? They had waited, Simeon and Anna had waited a long time. They watch for it. They keep studying the scriptures. They keep doing what you know to do is right. Keep showing up. Keep trusting. Keep the hope. Keep the faith. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. Stand with me this morning. One of the last scriptures I had in my notes today is, seek and you shall find. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Don't be drifting. The word of the Lord says, don't be distracted and don't be drifting. Amen. Hallelujah. We receive that today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As Crystal plays a song, if you're here today and you need prayer, you just need us to stand with you. If you're just struggling in some way, whether you need salvation, healing, comfort, maybe you need clarity, whatever it is that you need today, if there's something that you need and you want us to pray with you and stand with you as she's singing, just come forward and we'd be glad to pray with you.